Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Glad that the nice weather didn't keep you away. I just wish it'd make up its mind. I'm for winter, but it needs to make up its mind, okay? Winter, spring, something. Just this back and forth, I'm confused. We'll be in the book of Malachi this morning. If you have problems finding Malachi, just find Matthew and flip back to the left a couple of pages and you'll find Malachi. Malachi is the last of the books in our English Bible, at least the Protestant English Bible. And so that's where we'll be this morning as we continue our progression through the story of Scripture. We've spent now, this will be a year and a half in the Old Testament, and so we're going to finish out the Old Testament, and starting next week we'll be moving into the New Testament, and as much as anything, I hope that you're seeing that everything that's in the Old Testament is connected. It isn't just a series of random books, but it's a story that is being put together from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," until we come to the book of Malachi, the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. And Malachi, as the other prophets, is full of warnings and full of accusations. I guess it's hard to say accusations because we know that God knows the truth, but charges may be a better word against Israel. Every day you and I experience many warnings. When you get in your car this morning or next tomorrow or someday in the future, you may have a warning on your dashboard that says that you need to change the oil, or if your car's like mine, it might come up with a warning that says that there might be ice on the road because it's down close to freezing. Amongst the many other things that little book in your glove box says that there are warnings for on the dashboard that you hope you never see. But when you get out of your car, it may beep or buzz or ding or something at you to warn you that you left your keys in the ignition, left the lights on, or just left your keys in the car somewhere if you have most newer models. We get weather updates on our phone to warn us about things that are coming, as well as our TVs and our radios. You might have a credit or a debit card that's set up with spending limit warnings, and so if you reach a certain amount or you try to spend so much, it warns you. You might have an account that's set up to give you a warning when it's about to come due. You might go to the doctor and they might give you a warning. If you don't change your diet, if you don't change your exercise habits, if you don't change something, these are the things that might happen. The question, or one of the questions, is what do we do with all the warnings that we have? Why do we have all of the warnings that we have? Well, we have all the warnings because we believe that something bad might happen in the present or in the future, and we want to be prepared, or we want to be able to prevent it from happening. Another question I have for you is, what do you do with all those warnings? You might be like the lady that I read about recently who took a sticker and just placed it over the service engine soon light, thinking that if she couldn't see it, it wasn't a problem. Or you might be like me, when we get a tornado warning, the first thing I do is go outside to look for the tornado. And the reason is, I know why, because before they said it was a warning, they told me to watch. And I must obey, I must go watch. Or if you get the warning from your doctor about your weight, well, hopefully you change your diet and your exercise a little bit to try to most of us would try to slim down. I have a brother-in-law who is continually being told by the doctor to gain weight, but I keep trying to give him some and he won't take it. Well, the prophet Malachi brought plenty of warnings to the people of Israel. There were several things that were going on in the nation of Israel that Malachi came to the people on behalf of God to warn them about. You see, this is the remnant that has returned from the Babylonian captivity after the Persians took control and gave them permission to go home and to resettle in the Promised Land and to rebuild the temple, and then probably shortly after this to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, as we looked at in Ezra and Nehemiah. But when they came back, they didn't fully return to worshiping God the way that He had called them to. And so the prophet Malachi comes and he brings these warnings to the people of Israel and gives them the promise, a double promise, a promise of judgment or a promise of blessing. And so this morning, I don't want us to focus so much on the warnings that Malachi brought, as I want us to look at and to consider how we should treat the warnings that were given. So we're going to start, we're going to pick up with Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Not looking at the warnings, but rather looking at the response of the people. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will see again the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty." Malachi tells us some of what the people did. And as we look at this and we consider this, I think that the way they responded is the way that we should respond many times to the warnings that we get from the pages of Scripture. Malachi says that when they had heard, when they had understood, when they were convicted, that those who feared the Lord, they wrote a book of remembrance. Now, I'm not one of those who's going to tell you that the only way to make it through your spiritual life and the only way to grow is to journal. But I think that there are those times when it's a good habit to be in. That there are seasons in our lives especially where if we can write down the things that are happening and the things that are taking place, they help prepare us for what will happen in the future. And I'm not dedicated enough to do that regularly. I've done it through seasons in my life, and there are times when it's been a blessing and there are times when it's just felt like the biggest chore in the world for me to sit down and to journal. And so I won't tell you you have to. But the people of Israel, when they heard what God was saying to them, when they heard the message of Malachi, it says that they wrote down a book of remembrance. when we look at that, when we think about that, the first thing that they were doing is they were recording the warnings that had been given to them. They were listening to Malachi. They were hearing his words. And even if you read the next few verses, you look at those next few verses that we read after verse 16, what you find is the things that were being remembered were the warnings that God had given to them. They wanted to keep it straight. You know, we have this tendency to forget things. And so we naturally, there are things that we record, there are things that we write down, there are things that at some point we work hard to keep track of. Some of those are important things, some of them are kind of less important, some of them pretty insignificant, but here's what I know, that the warnings that God gives us, the warnings that God was giving to the people of Israel, were the most important things that they were going to hear. They were the most important things that they could remember. Even when they changed, even when things turned around, those warnings were still important because they're a reminder. They're a reminder of what was possible. And if we were to read through the book of Malachi, we'll find that some of those warnings that God gave the people were about personal judgment. They were about judgment for the individual, because the individuals were not following completely the Word of God that had been given to them. And so God was coming to them, and there were some of those warnings that would be, well, for individuals. They would be for people like you and me who were part of the community of the nation of Israel, that were part of the remnant. And God was giving them individual warnings about how they were behaving and things that they were doing, and calling them to change, but reminding them that judgment was a real possibility. And there are times when, as we read through the pages of Scripture, when we read through the Word of God, we're going to come across passages that are warnings for you and for me as individuals. And sometimes the warning that God gives to you isn't going to be a warning for me, because the sins that challenge me may not be the same sins that challenge you. And the sins that challenge you probably don't always challenge me. And so the warnings that God gives me through His Word will be different than the warnings that He gives to you. And sometimes we need to just write those down. We need to find a way to put those down in a book of remembrance to remind ourselves that judgment is possible. Judgment is coming. And while those who are in Christ don't have to worry about judgment the same as those who do not know Christ, we still need to remember that it comes. If we read through Malachi, we also find that many of his warnings weren't just for individuals, but they were for groups of people or even the whole nation. They were the communal judgments that were promised. They were the communal warnings that were being given about judgment that was coming if certain groups of the people wouldn't listen to what God had to say. And I think many times we, especially in the church in the Western world, especially here in the United States, we miss the communal nature of what God does. We've been raised in a society that praises the individual, that praises the work of the individual and how good the individual is and what the individual can do, and we forget that we're a community. We're called to be part of a body. You know, we're called to be a group of people who make up the church of Jesus Christ. And just like for the nation of Israel, when they came back from captivity, they weren't responding as a group, as a community to God the way they were supposed to. And so God was, through Malachi and through some of the other prophets that we've looked at, was giving them a message, a warning about what would happen if they continued down the path as a community. There are times when the Word of God speaks to not just you or not just me, but it speaks to us as a community. And we need to take seriously the warnings that God is giving to us as a community of believers to respond to Him in certain ways. Because just as God could point out that there would be a time of judgment that would come on them as a nation, even though He had brought them back from captivity, there can be for us as a body of believers times of judgment. Times of God's hand being removed or God's hand being brought down in discipline and punishment upon us as a group of people if we're not willing to listen. But even more completely, we need to remember that the time of judgment is coming, not a time of punishment here and now, not a time of dealing with consequences in the present, but Scripture is clear to warn us that there is a day of judgment coming. There is a day when, well, as Paul writes, he says, when Jesus will return with the shout of the archangel, with the shout, the loud sound of the trumpet, when every man will stand before God and give an answer for the things that we have done now. And we need to take that remembrance and we need to write that down and we need to keep that before us because judgment is real. And so the people wrote down in the book of remembrance the things that God had warned them and about the coming judgment. And then they also, if I read the book of Malachi correctly, they wrote down the sins that they had committed. They wrote down the things that they had been doing wrong. You see, it's not just enough for us to write down and remember the fact that judgment is coming, but we need to be reminded of the things that God has said that we will face judgment for. Because many times, the things that we think we can deal with without writing them down, without keeping a memory of them, simply slip back into the practice of what we do because they're comfortable, they're easy, they're normal. You see, we want to do the easy things. We want to do the things that are easiest for us. Not the things that take commitment, not the things that take energy most of the time. And so the people of Israel, if we were to begin at the beginning of Malachi and read through what Malachi says, we find that one of the things that they had to write down, one of the things that they had to acknowledge were religious sins. Religious sins. Sins that they had committed in following through with the practices of what God had called them to do. Things that they were doing and not doing that God says, this is the way you relate to me. And they were not living up to those things. They were not living up to the commands that God had given them about how they related to Him. They were not observing some of the things that God had said, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. And so God sent Malachi to convict them of their sins. And so when they were looking and they were saying, what is it we need to do? They wrote down their religious sins. They were also committing relational sins, sins against one another, sins against the way that they related in those, well, in Malachi, we read that some of those were in the most intimate of relationships between the husbands and the wives. There are other relationships that were being damaged and injured as well, but they were sinning against one another relationally. And God sent Malachi to confront them upon that. And I think many times we need to look at our relationships. We need to look at our religion. We need to look at how we come before God and into the presence of God and how we view that. We also need to look at how we're doing in our relationships. And from the most important and intimate of our relationships in a marital status to every other relationship that we have with other people, and we have to ask, how are we doing? The people were forced by Malachi to ask that question. How are we doing? And we see, if we read through the book of Malachi, that they were writing down and they were taking note of those sins that they'd committed. And there were communal sins, sins about how they were dealing as a community with one another. And this is different than our individual relationships with people, because this isn't just relational, but this is community. This is how we deal with everything from government to the land on which we live or the homes in which we live to the cars we drive. This is everything that's involved. And we need to take stock and we need to ask the question, how am I doing in my relationships to those kinds of things? And the people were being forced to ask, how are we doing in our communal relationships? And they were being challenged. And here's the thing, if we're going to do this, we must learn to be honest with our sins. And that's one of the things about writing them down, one of the things about making a record of them, writing them in our own book of remembrance, is the fact that writing them down forces us to be honest. It forces us to be more honest. You see, it's easy to say in the moment and to recognize in the moment a sinful area in our lives. But it's another thing to write it down. Scientists tell us now that the things that we write down, we're more likely to remember. Even if, no matter what your learning style is, the things that you write down, you're more likely to remember. And the things that you write down, you can go back later and look at and say, oh yeah, that's right. I remember that. And so the people were writing down the sins that they could recall and the things that they knew were sinful. And when we can do the same thing, it's taking heed of the warnings that God is giving us. And so the first thing that the people of Israel did was they wrote down their book of remembrance. The second thing that they did is they changed their ways according to God's charges. They changed their ways according to God's charges. It means that they began to look at things from God's perspective. They began to see things through God's eyes, so to speak. They began to see things the way that God was seeing them. And they began to change their ways. And here's what I know, reading through the book of Malachi, God didn't send the people of Israel any new information. There wasn't any new ways to live. There weren't any new commands. There were not any new laws that the people were supposed to fulfill. There weren't any new regulations for worship. In fact, if you read through the book of Malachi, what you find is that Malachi is simply saying, here is the word of God from the past. Live up to it. You're not living up to it, and you need to. you're not doing these things that God has told you in the past. And every one of the charges that Malachi brought against the people of Israel aligned very much with the Word of God that the people already had. And so Malachi wasn't challenging them to anything new. He was simply calling them to return to the ways that God had asked them to live in the past. And here's what I can tell you, is as we read through the Word of God, as we study through the Word of God, there are not going to be any new challenges. There are not going to be any new regulations. There are not going to be any new laws. There are not going to be any new things that you are being called to do. They all will, everything that the Spirit of God lays upon your heart will align with the Word of God that has been previously given. It may apply to new ways of doing evil. It may apply to new ways of forgetting to do the things that God has called us to do. But they'll always be the old words. And God simply was challenging them according to how He expected them to live. And He does the same to us today. He challenges us to live a certain way, according to certain decisions, according to certain dictates. But the charges that if the prophets came to us today, they would bring would align perfectly with the Word that God has spoken before. Because we are no less instructed on how we're supposed to live. The instructions from the Old Testament to the New Testament may have changed some, but we're no less given the instructions on how we're supposed to live. And when we read the Scriptures, it's the same as the prophets bringing the Word to the people. As God brings His challenges to us. And so the people began to look at God's ways of doing things. They began to look at how God called them to live, and they agreed that God's ways were right. And when they agreed that God's ways were right, they began to adjust their lives accordingly. You see, it's not enough just to agree. It's not just enough to give assent to the things that God tells us. You know, it's like going to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to eat healthier foods. You need to put a lot more vegetables into your diet, a lot more fruits, and you need to stop eating all of the greasy stuff you've eaten. And you say, okay, doctor, sounds good to me. And the first thing you do is you go out to McDonald's and order a double cheeseburger. A double quarter pounder, nonetheless. You know, you're going to get lots of grease and lots of fat. And then you go home from there and you go and you dig out the ice cream. And you got one of those pints. And you just have to eat the whole thing because it would be wrong to put some of it back in the freezer, right? And it's one thing to assent and say, you know what, you're right, doctor. It's another thing to say, you know what, you're right. And you leave the doctor's office and instead of going for the cheeseburgers, you go for the salad. And instead of going to McDonald's and eating their salad, you go find one that's a little healthier. And you go home and you eat it. And then when you want a snack in the middle of the afternoon, instead of digging out the ice cream, you got smart and you threw some grapes in the freezer, and so you eat a few frozen grapes. Because they're cold too, right? Or something of the sort. Just some thoughts. But the people, they were assenting. They were not just assenting to what God said. They began to see things through God's ways and understand His ways, but they began to change their practices. They began to change the way they were doing things. they began to look at their relationships and change. They began to look at their religion and follow through the way God had called them to live. They began to look at their communal situation, and they began to change some things in ways that aligned with the way God called them to live. And they go back to their book of remembrance, and they don't just write down the things that God had warned them about. They don't just look at the charges, but they write down the things that they're going to do to change. Because when we write those things down, we're more likely to follow through. And so they wrote them down to keep themselves accountable. You see, the book of Malachi is as much about how the people responded to the Word of God as it is to the charges that God brought against them. Well, it's not that the charges aren't important, and we can learn a lot from the charges that God brought against the people of Israel, the remnant that came back. In fact, I think in our day and age, especially the church, we could look at the book of Malachi and we could, in a lot of ways, bring very similar charges to many places in the church, to many individuals in the pews. But above that, it's about how we look at and how we respond at the warnings that God has given about the ways that He wants us to respond to Him and to live together. And the first thing that God calls us to is a relationship with Himself. And there might be some this morning who do not have that relationship with Him, and He calls us through the pages of Scripture. He calls us to respond to Him in active obedience. And the act of obedience that He calls us to is the act of baptism. To call, to come, to surrender ourselves to Him, to die to ourselves, to be buried with Him, and to be raised to walk in a newness of life. It's a lovely picture. And it's a lovely offer that He gives to us. And then He brings us into the community of faith and calls us to worship together, to serve together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to fulfill the great commission of making disciples of all the nations. And this morning, He calls us to respond to Him in active obedience. If you don't know Him this morning, we're going to sing one more song, and we'd encourage you to think about making that decision. You can either come as we stand together and sing, or you can meet me afterwards and we visit about that. But He calls us all to serve. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.
Oh, come to the altar.